Please go to Isaiah chapter 8, where we'll read one verse as our center text.
Sobano, tieni tulunjike, buku la Isaiah chapter 8, menetuwe renge vesi mozi oka, ngati amazigu watu, ametitika zigige, masina.
So we mentioned to you Isaiah chapter 8 verse 13.
Isaiah chapter 8 verse 13.
It's important to take your Bible when we're doing this, sir.
Can you
read that to us, please? Isaiah
8 verse 13.
Yeah. Read 605.
You said him?
Read 605.
I don't know, find
him. Read 13. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread.
Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. And I would Jehovah, O Magamu, here. Mudzamuyeretsa mube iye mu akuchititseni mantha iye.
This calls, Isaiah calls for the people to sanctify the Lord of hosts himself.
Isaiah awidana anthu kuti anthu adzakweze ndi kulemekeza Mulungu.
Sanctify is to make holy.
We don't know where the moon when you have to come here. It's up.
And it says to sanctify the Lord of hosts.
Now, the moon here, it's a moon.
And let him be your fear and let him be your dread.
That would be also a moment.
Isaiah is calling out to us today. In the word of prophecy. For this is not a prophecy for the people of that day alone. But prophecy is speaking to us today. And Isaiah has a word for us today. At that time, Isaiah had this word for those people. But let prophecy pierce into our soul today. And sanctify the Lord of hosts in your heart today. Maybe you've come up here today. Out of maybe just custom.
And even though
through custom the Lord has a message for you. Prophecy commands today to sanctify the Lord of hosts in your heart. And let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Because at that time, we read it, there were so many villages that were spread abroad. And there was a lot happening in the villages. The word was going out to the villages. But no one was hearing it. No one desired to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone had their own life to take care of. And everyone was too busy with the things around them. We read in here, in verse 6, for as much as the people refuseth the waters of Shiloh that go softly.
Pauna kuti popeza anthu awa anakana madzi asalowa amene ayenda pang'ono-pang'ono nakondwelera mwa lezini wa mwana wa Lemaira.
It means this. The villages all around were refusing the gospel. The waters that would go softly of
Silo.
At that time, there was a soft flowing river that came out of the rocks in the mountains. And it filled the pool of
Shiloh.
And the waters flowed softly and tenderly. And the Lord Jesus and God gave them a type of symbol here. A type of symbolism. And they were refusing the waters of
Silo.
And what does that mean for us today? What is this symbolism? They were refusing the gospel. And don't think it's different today. For so many people say God is good all the time. So many people believe to know the soft flowing river. But I ask you to look into your life, mothers. How long have you refused the gospel? The soft flowing rivers. I will tell you immediately what it means so you may make application. Fathers, you have to make application. We all have to make application. So we understand what this means. It means this, that the gospel that comes to us is as a soft flowing river. This the waters of Shiloh go softly. And the grace of God goes softly. There was mass rock formation. And no one knew where it came from, the water. But it came from the depths of the rocks.
Mothers,
I'm talking to you about the gospel today. Not about the zungus over there. You need to hear the truth. I ask you to wake up, for God sends me here not to put you to sleep, but to wake you up. Oh, if Christ would come back today and you come before him, will you tell him about the zungus? Or will you tell them about your heart? And you two children, young people, we must be converted. We are in danger. Danger's lurking all around us. And soft rivers of water are flowing out of this mass rock formation. And they can't see it. But they hear it. It comes out of the holes of the rocks up into the mountain. And it flows softly and tenderly. It symbolizes something. It symbolizes salvation. It symbolizes that the grace of God comes forth from the rock Jesus Christ. And the grace of God flows softly and tenderly through the river into Jerusalem. What is that tenderly soft flowing water?
where it says, insomuch that the people refused the water of Shiloh, and I'm going softly. It's the soft flowing water is all the graces that flow out of the person and work of Jesus Christ. In your heart, and I ask you, is the grace of God flowing through your heart? Softly and tenderly, do you hear the voice of Jesus in your heart? Do you trust in the Savior? Is your hope anchored into this rock? And like they could take some water out of this flowing stream and drink it, and be refreshed. Are you also refreshed when you hear the voice of Jesus speaking in your life? For all of these villages here at this time, it was not so. They refused the water that flowed softly. And today in all of our villages, the gospel is being refused. But instead they rejoiced in Rezin and Remaliah's son. This was the fast flowing rivers of Rezin and Remaliah. They wanted the mighty rushing power of the rivers of the Euphrates.
And
what does it mean? The people, they didn't like the gospel as it was softly flowing. Yeah. Look at today. We don't like the gospel. Be honest. We don't like the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're enemies of the gospel of Christ. Because the gospel of Christ says that we are sinners and that He's the Savior. That we are condemned and that He saves. That we are rebellious and that He's come for our rebellion. And that while we try to work our own righteousness, we say no to the gospel. And it's witnessing in our lives. What happens in our village when something in your life happens? Anger. We look for other ones whose fault it is. What happens in your relationship between husband and wife? The moment trouble comes in the relationship, we want to take control. We want a divorce. We want to send her home. We'll take care of this ourselves. She's our fault. No, he's our fault. Anger. Hitting and beating. Anger and frustration. If he doesn't bring enough money, I'll take another. But
Because our life is in our own hands. And we don't need the gospel. I'll take care of my own life. I don't need forgiveness. I don't need the grace of God to come into my life. I'll take care of it myself. I'll build a house. I'll get another wife. I'll get money. I'll get fuels. I'll start a business. I'll take care of myself. I have control over my own life. We don't need the gospel. Neither do we want the gospel. Oh, they looked into the, they looked onto Raisin and Ramalia. They looked at the other countries about. And they said, that's what we want. They have cars. The West, they have big houses. They have jobs. And great education. They can buy what they want. That's what we want. We want those gods. Because when I drive a nice car, my status goes higher. And if I come into this village with a nice car, I'm a big man now. And I can do what I want. And if you have enough money to buy whatever lovely you want, and you buy the most expensive one, now your status is a little higher. And if I have a husband where I can buy good relish every time, the other women and the other men will be jealous of me. I want to be like them. I want money. I want more money. I want a better job. I want a car. I want. That's what I want. Who are those gods? I want the God of money. If I can get the God of money, it will make me satisfied. It will make me happy. And I will be of great status. I will get bigger and bigger. See, this is what the Lord was talking about. He sent the prophecy from Isaiah's prophecy to shake awake the people. Tell them, what are you seeking? What do you want? There's nothing that will satisfy you in this life. But as long as you're looking for fame, for money, for a big good job, as long as you're looking for a car, you're rejecting the soft flowing water of Shiloh. Because we really want other gods. And we see other people, and they seem so happy. They have everything they want. Oh, that's what I want to be. I want to be like him. Like them who have nice stuff. And if I have to steal it, I'm going to get there. And I have to cheat, I'll get there. I don't care if I have to use a bribery. I'll get there. Refuse the soft flowing water of Shiloh. Refuse the soft flowing water of river of life. But God says something very specific. Through prophecy. He says to them, although you refuse, I will send the Assyrians. I will send the enemies. Because you're loathing after other gods. You want to be satisfied by the gods of this world. But I will send the enemy into your life. And when the enemy comes, and the enemy comes to destroy, then you'll come before a choice. But there were so many gospel preachers then, and there is today. That think of conspiracy. Confederacy. If you promote me as a prophet or a pastor, I'll give you things. So many people there. If I can be a pastor or a prophet or someone big in the church, and you believe in me, then everything's okay. Because they come and they say peace. You want to be like the other people? You want the other gods in your life? No problem. Everything's okay. Your life is going to be okay. It doesn't matter what you do. You want to sleep with other men? It's okay. Peace. God is good. God is good all the time. You want to use a bribe to get rich? It's okay. Don't tell no one. God is good. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And God says, no. Oh no. I will send Assyria. Who is their enemy? To destroy. Don't believe them, it says here. It says in verse 10, take counsel together and it shall come to naught. Speak the word and it shall not stand. For God is with us. You see, because they said, God is with us. But they're hiding the bribery, hiding the adultery, and hiding all the lust of the flesh that was
warning them.
Saying, peace. But they refused the gospel. They refuse the soft flowing river of grace, river of life, to take over their life, to drink of the fresh, cool water of Jesus Christ. But it's the same today. Oh, I want to tell you something. And pay attention. What does Assyria represent in our life today? Of course, Assyria, where in this world, is not coming to Malawi. That's not what it's talking about. Assyria is the enemy of that time. Who's your enemy? Because we don't like it when our life is in danger. Are you sick? Have you been sick? Is your children sick? That's the enemy. Don't think God is going to withhold the enemy when we trust in other
gods.
But the enemy of sickness comes into your house because you trust in other gods while you're trying to get more money together. Your child becomes sick. And you have to use that money for your child. Because God comes into your life. When you trust in other gods and reject the gospel. When you want the God of relationship. When you say, I have a husband, and I have him because he is going to take care of me. He has a good job. He has a good job. And that's why I want him. Maybe you have another husband that doesn't have a good job. But you say, forget that one. I want that one. I want that one. And he likes me too. And he has a good job. See where you put your trust? Get rid of the other husband. See where we put the trust? And God comes into your relationship and damages you. Turns it around. And your life becomes more beautiful. He was not the one after all. Now I have a husband and I have a husband in this village. And I have kids here and kids there. And I'm trying to survive. How many men today say, away with you, wife? Go back home. I'll get a wife who makes me happy. That's the God of this life. Not satisfied with what God gives us. But happy with, only satisfied with what I think is good. Go, wife. Go home. I'll take another one. That one doesn't work out. That one has HIV. I gotta go to another one. I have a wife here and a wife there and a wife there. And I can be 80 years old. Still not find the wife who will satisfy me. Why? Why? God sends Assyria into your life. Because we refuse the gospel. Because we refuse the power of Christ's dominion in our hearts. I don't want God, I don't want you, Lord, to have dominion in our hearts. I don't want to sanctify the Lord of hosts in our heart. An accident. You think everything's going so well. You're getting ahead in life. Suddenly you have an accident. You have to go to the hospital. Assyria. God sends Assyria into your life. Not only into your life, but into the life of your family. Oh, again you get called to the family to come together. Another problem has to be dealt with. A funeral comes. I have to give something for the funeral. I was just getting ahead. Now God has to bring me to the hospital. God says, I will surely send trials into your life. I will send sickness, allow sickness to come into your family. You want satisfaction in all kinds of relationships. I will send HIV AIDS into your villages. So that you may awaken. And so God says, or Isaiah in prophecy says, in verse 12, don't say a confederacy. To all them, this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Maybe you say today, it's gone too far. It's gone too far in my life. I've had a few husbands. I've had many wives. My life is full of bribery. I've tried hard all my life. If you have to say this, you have to say, why is sickness coming in my home so much? Why so much accidents in my life? Why am I so miserable? Why is my family in a fight? Why don't I have enough to eat? Why? Because that's what's being asked everywhere. This is the remnants of the floods. Why a flood? Why a flood? God, why? I hardly had a house already. I hardly had food. And then you chased me up a tree while water was going up. Be honest. Be honest. Why? God says this. God says this to you and me today. Because you refuse the soft flowing rivers. You refuse my grace. You refuse my mercy. You say, but I'm religious. I say God is good all the time. I come to church and I sing songs, and I'm a little bit nice. No, God says no. No, God says I look into your heart. And God says, be honest. Show me your heart. I want to see your heart. And that's why he says, sanctify the Lord and him. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let God be your King. Let Jesus Christ be your Savior. Believe it, the gospel of God. He says, Jesus Christ is the only hope for happiness. There is no satisfaction except to be satisfied in Jesus Christ alone. He says this, let in your heart and let your lips overflow of the holiness of Christ that dwelleth in you. Lord, my marriage is broken. And I can't seek it anywhere else but with you. Lord, I used to seek it in anger. I fought, I hit, I cursed.
ndandikana.
I've gone to the witch doctors.
Wasinanga ndapita kuti abwere.
To solve my problem.
Ndimwina badja tibwere.
I take natural supplement to take care of my problem.
Mikuzi ndavala mikuzi ndithumwa ndapika chuno kuti munanga abwere basi.
Refusing the gospel, refusing the grace of God in your heart. And now he's calling you. He's calling sinners. He's saying to them, don't believe all those people who say eventually your life is going to get better. There's all kinds of organizations and ministries coming into Malawi and saying it's going to get better, it's going to get better. They said that 50 years ago. Has it gotten better? No. No. But we've all listened to them. Just be good. Make me a prominent pastor. You go to all these people. And your life is going to be good. The people come to these pastors and they say my life is in a mess. And they pretend to throw fire. And nothing changes. And your life doesn't change. Everything stays the same.
Fire.
Has Malawi changed in 100 years? No, because you believe everyone but Jesus Christ. It's time to repent. My friends, mothers, we must repent in believing in all of these other gods. Oh, take away the witchcraft and turn to Jesus Christ. What's ruling your life? What are you putting trust in? And God says, turn away from that. Repent and turn to me. And sanctify the Lord of hosts. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, then why are you not speaking
about it?
If I ask in this village, or in the vicinity, take me to the witchcraft. Any of you could probably take me there. But if I come in this village and I say, take me to Jesus Christ, you look at me like I'm crazy. Because Jesus Christ is manifested in your heart. And he's saying this. Don't believe everything and trust in all of these other gods. But sanctify the Lord of hosts, which means the Lord who is complete. In your hearts, and the fear will leave you. Why does he say further, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread?
Oh, people.
Are you fearful? Are you scared? Mothers,
as mine,
are you afraid? Are you tormented? Is your relationship in trouble? Are you hungry? Are you in poverty? Do you dread your situation. Because your conscience is saying to you, every time I try to get ahead, a sickness comes into my body. And you're made aware of it now.
Why?
And now you dread. You have to say, for 40 years or 50 years, all I've been doing, I dread. It's too late. It's too late for me. I dread the wrath of God upon me. Maybe you say this. Pastor, if you say that we refuse the gospel, and that's why our lives are so challenging, that's why our life is so difficult, then it's only going to get more difficult. Oh, I dread it now. If I refuse the gospel and God has come so much in my life already, I've lost my husband. I have lost my children. My children have sickness. I have no food. No clothes. No house. Floods wash me out. I'm not happy. I'm tormented inside. I'm tormented. I'm scared someone's going to do something. Because of all the witchcraft. They feed me poison. They hate me. I have children. And then I get sick. And my mother already died. And they don't know why. They killed my sister. Or my brother. Children. And I dread. I'm scared. I'm fearful. I don't know what to do. My life is a mess. I'm tormented in this body. Listen to the gospel then. For although he says you refuse the gospel, he comes anew now to say, believe in the gospel. He says, only sanctify. That means call me holy in you. Let me sanctify you. Jesus Christ says, let my love change you.
Yes,
let my security be your trust. I'm the bread of life, says Jesus Christ. And he says, let him be your fear and let him be your dread. What does it mean? If you are dreading, if you are tormented, if you are in pain, whether it be in body or in spirit, or psychologically, he says, let me take it. Let me be your dread. Because Jesus Christ was tormented to death. Do you hear that? Why was Jesus Christ tormented to death? Why was he beaten so hard? Why did he draw great sweats of blood in Golgotha? Oh, don't think that Jesus did not dread the punishment. They took Jesus and made him carry his cross. And they had big nails in their
hands.
And Jesus Christ saw the nails. And he took the cross. Oh, don't think that Jesus Christ did not dread being put on the cross. And they took the nails into his hands. And they beat. So that the nails pierced. With a back that was ripped open. They took a whip. And they beat hard upon his back. They plowed it open. And as he groaned and moaned under the pain, they gave another one. Why? What has he done? What has this Christ done? What has the Son of God done? What evil did he do? Or is it something else? Or did he take these beatings? Did he allow himself to be tormented to take your torment away? I want you to think about this. Jesus Christ came because he knew you would be tormented. In your heart, you might feel so tormented. You can't sleep anymore because of the torment, because of the pain. And Jesus Christ comes in the gospel today. And he says, give me believe in Jesus Christ and be saved by giving me your fear. I know, says Jesus Christ, your pain. You're in fear. The enemy has infiltrated your whole life. And you're scared. What will become of me? And Jesus Christ says through the gospel, sanctify me. Call me holy. Believe in me. Take my holiness. Take my forgiveness. He says, I give it to you. For free. Take my righteousness. Take my holiness. Take it, he says. And I'll exchange it for your fear. I'll exchange, he says. He says, let's do an exchange. He says, I'll take your torment. And you take my wrath. Is this Christ not the Son of God? Is this Christ not adorable? Is this not the Christ whom you and I have rejected and said, no, I'll take care of my own life. I'll find my own husband, my own wife. I'll find my own money, my own food. I'll get filled, I'll get rich. I'll be the prominent individual. Don't need the quiet water for grace. I don't want the flowing rivers of life. But he comes. The Assyrians have infiltrated your cities and towns. Look at it. Sickness,
matenda,
pain,
umbakuawa,
flood,
matosefugira,
HIV,
matenda ezegombo,
COVID,
COVID-19 afuta.
Why, Lord? Why?
Simpu samungu mutemo mana matagabira. Kuri kwa mambu ya ipaya ni mutemo. Ipaya ni maga na imanga na ipuri kila kwa.
Because he wants to awaken us. He's coming today with his gospel by renewal. And he's saying, you didn't want me. You don't want the rivers of life. But I'm begging you, he says, I'm begging you. I'm so concerned for you. I didn't send me a sin in your life to make your life miserable. I send the sickness in your life to awaken you. Jesus Christ says, I'm concerned for you. You don't want my peace. But he's saying now, this is my gospel. Are you fearful? Give me your fears. And I will give you my peace. And he says that to everyone who comes to him. True repentance. Lord, I don't want money anymore. Lord, money has corrupted me. I don't need more food than you already giving me. The more food you give me, the more I don't need you. I don't need another husband. And I don't need those men at night time to give me some 1,000 kwacha. I don't need that anymore. I don't need the God of silver and of gold. I don't need a car. And I don't need a new house. But I need you. I need you to take my fear away and give me peace. I repent from all of that. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Savior. Into my heart. I call you and you only. Only. Oh, I allow you to sanctify me. I allow your blood to wash me from all of my sins. I believe in the power of your grace. And I need you in my life. And I'm scared and I'm fearful. But the preacher of the gospel said, I'm allowed to give my fear to you. Here, Lord, take my fear. Lord, I dread meeting you. Because I'm not ready. If I have to meet you now, all my sins will be exposed. And I will melt away in your wrath. I'm dreading to meet you. I'm dreading to die. Because I'm dreading eternity. But Jesus Christ says, give me your dread. Give me your eternal damnation. Give me your sins. And if you give me your eternal damnation, what you deserve, I will take it to myself. I will take your damnation. And I will be damned. I will die the death you had to die. And in return, I will give you life. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it comes to all of us today who recognize that you have rejected this gospel and wanted the things of this world to satisfy you that are so loud. Oh, someone says, but I'll give you 10 million kwacha next year. Oh, that sounds so good. That's the mighty rushing waters of this world. And maybe you even get 10 million kwacha. And at night, that very night, thieves come with panga knife and say, give me the 10 million kwacha. And take it from you. And you're angry. It's my 10 million. You want the world. You don't want the gospel. Tell you something. That the the righteousness, the power of this gospel in your heart. The forgiveness of sins. Receiving the Son of God, Jesus Christ the Savior, as your Savior. Then the devil might come with pungency and require it from you. It's not mine. It's my Savior's righteousness. If you want my righteousness, you're going to have to go to my Savior. He's the owner and the author. But Jesus, but the devil can't. Because Jesus has overcome Satan. Oh, I call out to you today. Let your fear and let your dread be upon Jesus Christ. And see by faith today the dread in Jesus Christ's eyes. When he hung between heaven and earth. Oh, see that dread. And see that it's not his dread. But it's his people's dread. Cast your care upon him. Let your fear be upon him today. The gospel calls you. For he says after the verse after, and he shall be for a sanctuary. Oh, if your dread and your fear may go upon him today, and you by faith may look to him, he will become a sanctuary for you. He will be one to flee to. A little hiding. Place. In the storms of your life, a hiding place. When fear comes, you can flee to him. You can run to him, and you can hide in the sanctuary. Jesus. Then the floods of the storms and floods of life come into your life. And you say, I have a sanctuary. And I'm safe. Call out to you. Let your dread. Let your fear. Be this day upon Jesus Christ. Mothers.
As mine.
Let your fear. Your dread. Your terror. Your being terrified. Let your terror be upon Jesus. By faith today. Let it fall upon you.
And
without it, the world will go on. The Syrians will continue to come in your life. And you will go to the grave. Like everyone else. Hopeless. Without grace. Without mercy. And you'll come before the living God. He will say to you, while you were alive, I told you to put your fear and your dread upon me. But you refused the living water. But you refused. You refused me. That day when Azungu came to preach my word, you didn't want me. You wanted the gods of this world. Now it's too late. Therefore, we call out to you one more time. While it's still today, while you hear his voice,
Flee to Jesus Christ. Flee to him.
And
put your fear. Give him your dread.
Amen.
Amen.